Where did it begin? Did it begin when I was here? Or did it begin when I was there? Or did it begin with me at all? Or it began just now, while I was talking to you? My mother said it began with me. For her, it began the day I was born, just outside the nursing home, when a mob burnt down the milk booth. It was not the blood, it was the milk that died inside the bottle, leaving grown-ups craving for milk and newborn babies overfed with breast milk.
Good morning to everybody. Let's start with Jill, with Chanakya and Vivek.
Good morning, Orville Radio.
Morning.
Good morning.
How do you feel after premiere, so to speak, last night?
It was a great opening, I think. And it was very interesting to see the play in a new space, like Kripa. And it was very interesting to see the kind of response that the audience had after the play. So it was very, very encouraging, I think. We're looking forward to two more shows, yeah.
Jill, you might can tell us what was the reason to invite them here, or where's the connection?
The connection is theater. Everybody in theater is connected to everybody else. And the theater world gets smaller and smaller. So how did I get introduced to you?
I came met you first.
Yes, okay. So I met Vivek. Thank you. Yeah. So Vivek came with his wife to visit Orville, and he got sent to me somehow.
By Rajan,
who said, oh, you're in theater, go see Jill.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened. So I met Vivek, and he told me about this play that they were working on. And so we talked about the possibility of bringing them to Orville.
Mm. So you came for a visit, for a tourist visit with your
family? Yeah, I've been to Orville at least 3 or 4 times earlier. But last December, I came just for a holiday with my wife. So like she said, I was staying at Aspiration, where Rajan is also from. So one day after dinner, we were talking, and he was asking me, what's your latest work? And I shared it, and he said, oh, you must talk to Jill. She's a very nice person and all of that. So I called her, we met for lunch, and then I was leaving, I think, the next day. So we also had a look at some spaces here. And so that's where it started from. And then, of course, with the emails between Chanakya and Jill, kind of moved forward.
You are writer and a director, Chanakya,
yes,
of the play itself.
Yes,
But can you tell us a little bit more, what is Our Theatre? That's the name of the group, yeah?
It's
a theatre group that was founded by Sandeep Shikhar, mm-hmm, who's also a writer and an actor, on the theatre director also in Bangalore. And Vivek Vijayakumaran. So they both founded it. It was the first production was Beyond the Land of Hattamala.
Yeah, which I directed. It was about in 2009 we opened it. Mm-hmm. So then we have also had another play called Nariyal Pani, and this is our third production. Mm-hmm. And so as a group, we believe in that the play should ask some important questions, raise some important questions, and
But the name implies somehow Our Theatre is like you guys are professional, or whenever somebody feels...
No, we're all professional, mm-hmm, theatre people, yeah.
I was wondering about the name. Why Our Theatre?
Yeah, it was just we were all wondering what name we should keep, and we all felt that it should be something that comes from all of us, very honestly, what we all believe in. And that's how we came with the name Our Theatre, and we felt Our Theatre should be for you, so for the audience, And another reason was also that to say that our stories are all going to be from all of us. So in that sense also, that Our is beyond ourselves, but all of us. So it's Our Theatre, which is inclusive of the audience also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the reasons why we came up with the name of Our Theatre.
And as you said, the purpose of that was to touch some deeper meanings of the life. And play, it's autobiographic maybe? It's on your memories? It could be, but...
Prelude is a lot about things that I have been observing over the past few years. with people in urban cities, also people who, my friends, some of my colleagues with whom I've worked in the past, and where I grew up in Baroda, and when I see them down after 15 years, 20 years today, and I see that there's a lot of interesting things that sort of come up in what forms them today as a grown-up man, as an adult. Where do they place them in the society, and how does the society also make them somewhere? It's not just society is separate and we are separate, but I think it's somewhere both are connected. So I would say Prelude is a lot about my observations, my experiences, over the past few years as a child, also growing up. So part of it is memories, part of it is reading, observations here and there, and yeah, and end of the day we wanted to sort of tell a story. So it was all sort of culminated into a piece of theater. So to tell a story of a man from whose journey is traced from childhood to adulthood, and what are the things that he sort of experiences in his life, and that somewhere forms him, forms his opinions about people.
Perspectives. How do you feel about that story? Because you were playing it so vividly, it was like, wow, you know, you could see the smell. I could smell the chicken. That's good. When you're eating, it was like, ooh.
Yeah, I think one very important thing is that we have collaborated on really making this person Mukund, this character, for more than a year now. And so it has just gone through so much of deliberation on many fronts. This script is in its seventh draft now. So we have just kind of, you know, deliberated so much on the part, how it should be, how it should not be, what do we want to communicate, how he should be here, there, how he changes with age, what changes with age, how his attitude changes, how much he wants more now, when he wants his own space, where his world is changing, when he gets a new job, so a greater sense of identity hits him, and from there he gets a bit of confidence to speak for himself, and all of that, and most of the creation with the character has happened by doing it, by just repeatedly doing and trying. So it's just a consequence of an organic process, if I should say. It was not really thought of and created that way. It was just a consequence of these deliberations and trying out and doing and taking out what's unnecessary, keeping what's necessary, and things like that. So it's, I would say, for the amount of time we have had, or we did put in to reach where we have, has played a big role in making it quite easygoing, quite naturally happening kind of thing for me.
So even though we had the script, but we still sort of created a lot on top of the script, you know. So the script did serve as a, I would say, an impulse, or as the objective, arriving at the script, at depicting what's written, you know.
So when you were putting it, you were working together, you want to say?
Yes, so we're really collaborating, and Vivek himself went to the areas which I mentioned.
I went to Gujarat, I traveled, I went to all those places that are mentioned in the play, and there was a friend of his who stays there and who's been through, seen the riots, so he took me to specific areas, he showed me broken houses, he showed me where people have moved in, so it also gave me a realistic experience. And another thing I think I must mention is that even as far as the story goes, etc., it has been quite collaborative. So I have also had the opportunity to put in some views, it should be like that or like this.
Yeah.
So it was also not that the character was created and you played. There was a creation happening also from my side, so.
And that's one of the reasons I feel that
it's very collaborative.
The writing also changed over the time. We had to write seven drafts to sort of arrive at more tight and more cohesive sort of a script, so that the idea is also conveyed with the story somewhere. So that
all from the beginning, it was meant to be a solo performance.
Yes, we from the beginning, I was quite keen on having it only as a solo performance. And even when the script changed, because we both were working collaboratively, we were able to share that time in a rehearsal space, which was, I think, very critical to be spending time in a rehearsal space to discuss, to sort of put the discussion, the ideas on floor and see how we can, you know, put it inside the play, fictionalize it, dramatize it somewhere. And it's been a long process, and in that long process, we've also for ourselves as theater practitioners, we have found very interesting trajectories to sort of, you know, look ahead to see, you know, what kind of theater am I interested in. I think you find that when you're with the process for 1 year. I think same for him. He has also sort of made a journey as an actor in the past 1 year. Me as a director and a writer, both. And it was so lucky that I was just searching for a soundtrack when we were making the play. I didn't have a soundtrack. And generally you go with recorded sounds, you know, you take recorded sounds and you use it in a play. But I thought that what if we have a composer on board who can really see the play, get into the depth of the play and compose something for us to sort of heighten the emotional quality of the scenes. And I just was Googling something that day, and I was just searching for some soundtracks on Google. And I found this page on SoundCloud. And I went on that page, I heard one of the tracks, and I found, wow, this is amazing. This is very nice. It's very contemporary, yet at the same time, it has a very interesting use of instruments into it. And it's not like, it serves more as a background score to the story. It was not like a musical composition, but it was more of a background score. So very realistic sounds. So when he got in touch with the composer, and it turned out that he also lives in Bangalore.
Wow. So
it was such a coincidence.
And his name is?
Ayush Gupta. So Ayush came into the rehearsals. He was just very excited as to what the play was about, what he was talking about. He also felt sort of connected somewhere. Very, very connected to the play. And he said, yeah, I want to really work on this, because I think we all found our personal experiences somewhere.
Exactly. I was sort of thinking about the same, that you were reflecting somehow because you were coming from the environment.
So we sort of found our personal experiences sort of coming at a point of meeting, you know. And he came in, he really spent that time with us. He really came to rehearsals, watched the rehearsals. We had a lot of deliberation over soundtracks. Why should we have this? Why should we have this? But we finally arrived at a score for the play. I think in that sense, it's a very, very collaborative piece of theatre. Where each of us has had our own share of,
to contribute.
Contribute in the performance.
But the sound really alive. It's dramatized the whole thing, and it's obvious to me that it was done for the performance itself. I'm just wondering where he get the soundscape of riots. You know, it was like really realistic. No, Jill.
Yeah. It's a beautiful soundscape. It's an incredible work for a one man show, which beautifully supports the action on stage. And even somebody in the audience afterward, I think Rajan afterwards, asked how can he get a copy of this music, because he was really touched by it. So
it's available online.
It's available.
Okay, we can tell him.
It's on SoundCloud.
Maybe also on this interview we can add it as a link.
Sure.
We should.
Okay, cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah, they are professionally done for sure. The sound is excellent.
Yeah.
And also the light, because I was amazed by myself that you don't miss nothing. I can see, you know, the spaces where the main characters goes. There's sound always at the back. It's really
the
convincing.
Sound was the best.
Yeah, it kind of builds the space.
And also the light, you know, because it's really minimalistic.
Yeah.
It's just that and that. But then all of a sudden when you're looking at it and you're listening to it and you are in the space of so many things.
So we are also very keen to have it as, to do it as in a very minimalistic sense, to sort of convey the imagery of the scenes as much as possible, in not by having too much elaboration on the stage, you know, to sort of let the audience also be in that imaginary space.
I believe you use for that purpose just the things you found in Creeper.
They didn't bring a set with them. They brought some burlap cloth, and the rest of it is platforms that are already existing. Yeah. What I really enjoy about the design of this show is this quality of the minimal, producing the maximum effect. It's the essence of theater to me. I don't like elaborate set designs unless it's really, really essential to tell the story. I would much rather that the audience and the actor commune together to create together the story as it appears in the individual imagination of each audience member. Mm-hmm. And that for me is a really a very beautiful part of this show, is that you have a minimal set design, and yet you create whole worlds. Mm. And that's the beauty of theater, which I think you cannot capture on film. It's really one of the things that separates film work from theater work, is this collaboration of the use of the imagination, the sharing of the creative process with the audience.
Mm. The thing is about that interaction, which comes in place, it's really obvious in music, in the concert. Because when you listen to the recording, that energy which is really present is not on the recording, and it's probably the same with the theater.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely.
Another important point I would like to mention is that we had the opportunity to be at the space 2 days before the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really fantastic because we got to experience the space with what we have. We had the time to create the set with whatever platforms were available. So it was as if we are given a new space and we are told this is what you have, and you built with this. So it was a very nice challenge to take up, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And also to hear that the minimalistic, all of that really worked, I think is a compliment in that sense for us. Really enjoyed that 2 days spending in the space.
Because we could really see the space empty.
Yeah, exactly. We saw the space empty.
The space wasn't already built, you know, that this is the proscenium, or you sort of have
window. The stage wasn't defined, we defined it. So
we sort
all
of
those things
defined right
where the audience will sit,
to the audience seating, how we would make them sit in which, what kind of formation would it be. So all that in an empty space, I think it's really important for a play, that you have that time to just be in that space and just see where do you think your performance works.
I think
best.
It's just a good exercise as theater practitioners.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just a good exercise for us.
For anybody to work with something which is empty given to you and you create out of that is a joy, probably.
Yeah.
Well, let's go somewhere a little bit back to the basics. How long you are doing, I mean, how long that plays on a stage already?
We have finished 8 shows now.
Eight shows. Yeah. And in Bangalore, you got your regular space, your theater hall, or you host somewhere?
We don't have a space of our own. Mm-hmm. But some people are kind and they kind of give out their spaces for us to work. Mm-hmm. Like there is a business school called BSBS, which stands for Bangalore's
School of Business Studies.
So the director of that institute is a art lover. He loves theater. So he's kind enough to give us the space after the college hours. So we rehearse there. And there's another lady who rents out the space above her house because her daughter is in the theater, so they've made that space. So she's very kind. So when that's free, we rehearse there sometimes. So
it's called Rangamadu.
It's called Rangamadu. Mm.
So it's made specifically for
theater practice.
People to come and practice their work. And we've staged the show at 2 spaces in Bangalore. One is an intimate space, which is the basement of a house. It's also, the house is owned by a man called Prakash Iyer, who is also a very, very keen, you know, observer of theatre, art and literature. And the second space where we performed is Rangashankara, which is one of the
prominent
theatre space in Bangalore.
In Bangalore.
Which has sort of really created a theatre community today. You see, it's been a great boon actually for us in Bangalore to have a space like Rangashankara, mm-hmm. to go and perform and to really see, experience theater.
That's different. It's like, yeah, yeah. Now I'm, let's say, verified or somehow. Out of Bangalore, you performed?
Sorry?
Have you performed out of Bangalore?
No, this is our
this
first
is our
show.
This is our first show out of Bangalore. We really want to take the play to as many places as possible. We are very keen. Yeah.
This is the first show out of Bangalore, and it's very exciting, actually. All of us are having great time.
It's also quite easy to travel because it's just a one-actor play. So yeah. Just four people make the team, with one person on the sound, one director, and one light person.
That is light traveling. No, the trucks and nothing. Still, the play does touch something which is really essential in the society, the hypocrism and religious beliefs. And I believe that India, with such a diversity of religious beliefs, of anything, you know. How do you feel that in your life?
Oh, I have had this has been huge. Having grown up in a Hindu family, you have the idol worship, you have the idea of temples, you have frames of gods in the house, and you have idols kept in the house. So it's I grew up in an environment, obviously, where there's a lot of rituals which would happen once in 2 months, and so those kind of things really sort of stay with me in my memory if I sort of look back. So if you see in the play also, I have used the idea of Mukund, the main character in the play, how he sort of connects to the idea of God with idol worship, and which is so different when you come to Muslims, Islam. And I feel that is something which you wanted to really see, that how does a child understand this, when two children, Mukund and Irfan, the main characters of the story, come from different understanding of religious beliefs. How do they meet up? How do they understand this from their own perspective? So hypocrisy is something which I've sort of shown when he grows up, as an adult. So that's something which is there inside him, which he is not able to sort of reveal that he is something, but he has to portray that.
Always put up something.
Always putting up something.
Because
in front of his
as
mother.
A child, it's been required of him to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from this kind of doctoring that happens at home, where there is no space to question. There is no space to understand why. Yeah. It is just that I'm told I have to do it. Yeah. So it's that kind of doctoring. And then when you're faced with life, people outside, you have to keep up to that doctoring. So because of which you're forced to put up when you meet different people. And that's where it, I think, germinates from. And when you grow up with those things inside you. So, and of course, the climax is the point where he kind of questions that. What we also found interesting is that there is also a very emotional bond with the mother. So it gets that tension, that he questions it at the same time. He cannot let go. He cannot let go of his mother and leave because he loves his mother. Mm-hmm. So that tension, I think, is what kind of perpetuates it over generations, because it's the mother. And she's also not doing it for any reasons of wanting to continue or to create biases. She's doing it out of some kind of security that she wants to seek, some kind of social security by the way she's been brought up or something. So it's like it's kind of a web in which they're all there, and somebody needs to take that courageous step to make a difference. And not all people come with that kind of courage, or they don't get there. And that's the majority of the stories that we see in our society. Majority of people are like that.
But the question was still playing in my mind. Do we still going on like that?
Of course.
Of course. And the reason why the character of the mother in the play was not there in the beginning.
We started
working on the play. Yeah. We sort of arrived at it later on when we felt that for most of us, mother signifies home. So we are also trying to understand something that when you have a character like mother in the play, she also signifies the child's world. But the mother is
the sense of home.
The child world. So the child really sort of takes everything from the mother.
Yeah, but when you start questioning, then is in the play the sense of guilt.
For him to be able to live up to the image that his mother expects out of him as a son, and the fact that he's in a society where he himself is now finding his identity, where he feels that, yes, it's fine, I can go out and eat, I can eat what I want, I can do what I want, you know. But at the same time, he's in this sort of a crisis or
emotional web kind of thing. Because the moment he gets a job, he's outside and he knows he can go, nobody's going to question me or something, but he's still in that emotional web when he comes to his mother. And I think the climax kind of...
The scene of guilt, you know, it's like...
Yeah,
okay, I'm supposed not to do that.
Yeah.
So at the same time, even though he sort of now has difference of opinion with his mother, at the same time, the emotional thing does not change.
Yeah.
You might have a difference of opinion with the person, with the parent, but emotionally, you are still connected to the parent. So that's where the guilt comes in, for shouting at her, for fighting with her about it.
Yeah, sure. And that's why he kind of breaks down in the end.
But without revealing too much about this, the climax.
Yeah.
No, for me, it's main conflict for me in the play is between the mother and the son. And his journey, you can say, from innocence to experience, his philosophical, spiritual, physical journey that we go on with him, and we live this journey with him because we see him as a small boy and all through the stages, different stages of growing up, and how he struggles, this inner conflict with what he comes to see about himself and what he feels he's obliged to live because of this bond, as they were saying, the bond between the mother and the son. So it's very well told in that way, a conflict that exists in not only Indian society, but in many societies and many stories of this man's journey, the youth who grows up learning one thing and has to understand himself as a young person, as a young adult, in an entirely different way.
Yeah, sure. And then yet, the funny thing is that something like a chicken can define a man, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And we won't tell you what that's about.
One last more thing. How do you guys feel in... Okay, you have been visiting... How do the rest of the crew feel about Orville?
Oh, they're thrilled.
Thrilled.
They've all been asking me, where do we stay when we come? How do we come? And all of that. So yeah, they loved the place. They loved everything about this. And we've been having a great time. Jill has been a fantastic host.
That we know.
It's been such a difference from Bangalore, you know, where we sort of have to travel long distances to get to work or to go to rehearsal.
This is great. You stay here. The radio is here. The breakfast is there. The performance is backside.
You drive a moped. It's quiet. It's an empty road. It's amazing.
Quiet? No, it's not quiet.
It's all relative. So please, audience.
Yes.
Of a radio audience, please come and see the show. We perform tonight, Saturday, at 7:30, and again, last show, last chance to see this great performance on Sunday at 7:30 at Kripa. Don't miss it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It didn't begin with my mother.